Now, by that nefesh, by that soul, by that elokus being planted inside the human being, the Adam. The Adam is fertile ground, is the Adama, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this human being to grow and to develop and to be able to reach a madrega of dveikus, of attachment to Hashem in the physical world. As I mentioned, when we finish the parak, we're going to learn a maimer and see this, to bring this all together more, to understand what the Maharal is talking about in Avodah. So we're up to Kuf Chaf Aleph on the left hand side, the second line. Therefore, all of the Tubishvat Torah, right? All of the Ramazim, all of the hints that are found in that pasuk, Ki Ha'Adam Eitz Asada, that Hashem compares the human being to the tree. Ki Ha'Adam Eitz Asada. And that comparison tells us about this similarity. Kamayishin is Bor B'Makom Acher. Now we have to see footnote 53. That's where we were up to last week, and it's very important. It's a very big yesod in the Maharal. Footnote 53. Kain Kosev M'kaimas Misbar L'dugma. Der Chaim Paragimel Mishnah Yedzayin Kosev Ebir HaMishnah Sham. So the Mishnah there is Kol Shechachmosa Meruba Mimaisav. Whoever's Chachma, whoever's wisdom, whoever's intellect is greater than his Maisim, than his actions. L'mahu Daimah, to what is he compared? L'ilon Sha'anof of Merubin, to a tree that has many, many branches. It looks very beautiful. But the problem is, Sharosh of Mu'atan. But the Sharoshim, the roots of the tree, are less than is necessary. So, this is a person whose chokhmah is greater than his maisim. Obviously, wisdom, seichel, chokhmah is being compared to the external branches. This is unusual. Whereas the maisim, the physical acts, are considered to be the sharoshim, the roots. Now, often you would say that that's odd. The pnimius, the inner life of a person, the seichel, the chokhmah of a person should be the root, right? We would say that those are the roots. And the actions which are more external, so that should be those should be compared to the branches. But it's not true. Chazal say that the chokhmah are the branches and the maisim are the roots. And the Maharal explains over there, v'zeh l'shainim. Yeish l'shol l'ma doymen l'ilan shanofen rubim b'sharash. Let's understand. A person whose intellect is ahead of his actions, which is really, most of us are struggling with that. There are many, many things that we understand to be true, but we're not keeping up with our level of understanding. We know much more than we observe, right? We know much more than we're keeping. So, the Maharal explains, why is the comparison being made to a tree that has many, many branches and leaves and so on, but it has the shiroshim are few, the roots are not there. What is the comparison? Yesh l'chaladas, the Maharal says. Ki ha'adam ashehu bal adama. This is what we're learning. That the name of a human being, Adam, is that he's a bal adama. What does that mean, that he's a bal adama? It means that within the life of the person in this world, that dveikus of a person to Hashem has to develop and grow. So the human being, of course, is himself a paradox. On the one hand, he's a Baal Adama. He's very earthly and very much attached to the earth, and he comes from the earth. On the other hand, he's a Baal Seichel. On the other hand, he's a person that has a neshama, is a soul, and he has an intellect. In Mekom Makom, nevertheless, so you would say, if you would want to name the human being, you would name him after the Iker. So you would call him, instead of him being called Adam, the first man should have been called Seichel. Seichel, or Neshama, something. But Adam seems to be very, very, seems to be an insult to name the human being after the Adama, after the earth. Right? It seems like an insult. And yet man is named Adam. When we come up on Shem Ha'adam who bore al Shem Adama. The human being possesses this godly intellect, and still he's named. And the name, of course, always means the essence. The name always means the essence. So Adam is called Adama. Right, the Ramban says it's Adamel Adamel Elyain. I resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the word Dimui, Dimayon, comparison. But the simple pshat, Chumash says, it's Adama. Hu Baal Shem Adama, Shetirim Yizeh, Ki Shorish HaAdam Hu Aguf. This is a very big Yisod Namoral. Again, when we learn, we're going to learn Chassidus, how this is understood on a deeper level. Not deeper than the morale is, but the morale is saying is just not, it's not completely clear by just reading the morale. He says the sherish of a person, the root of a person is the guf, is the body. Now these sound like shocking words, and that's the ik of a person, is his body. The seichel of the person, meaning the intellect, then the neshama and so on, that's meisif ahirlech, that is taking the raw material of what a human being is. The raw material is the earth, and that raw material, by being connected to the seichel, the raw material can now begin to blossom, can develop. But the raw material of man is earth. Ad shahas seichel hu mispashet l'malam min hashamayim, that a human being's thoughts, a human being is capable of thinking of the most profound things. And therefore man is compared, resembles a tree planted in the earth. Certainly when we look at the tree, we're not really interested in the roots. You're interested in the branches and the leaves and the fruits and so on. That's what you're interested in. You're not really interested in the roots of the tree, and you're not interested in the bark and so on, in the guf of the tree. You're interested in the seichel of the tree. What's the seichel of the tree? The seichel, so to speak, of course, in quotations, the seichel of the tree are the pears. Right? Are the pears. The fruits. And that's what everybody wants. Right? And I spoke about this yesterday, a little bit, last Shabbos, that's the meaning of the chait of the earth, the sin of the earth on the third day, that the earth did not want to produce trees that have the same taste as the fruit. Right? Hashem wanted it should be, kivyachol should be, tam ha'etz ke tam ha'pri, etz pri oise pri, that the tree would have the same taste as the fruit. Lamaisa, that's not what happened, because in this world there is a separation, and that was the chait of taking the fruit from the tree. The tree, most people are not impressed by trees and by roots. Most people are impressed by fruits. People want results. People want to see the end product. People are not interested in the way to get to the end product. So, in this mashal, the Maharal is explaining that in the tree, the guf of the tree, the body of the tree, the most basic existence of the tree are the roots. And the seichel, in the mashal, the seichel, the intellect, or the impressive product of the tree, those are the flowers or the fruits and so on. So the Maharal explains. So now let's talk about the person in the mission. The person there in the mission in Pirkei Avos, so his maisim, if we're dealing with a person, the mission says, kol shemaisim merubin michachmaso. Now we have a person that his understanding, his fruits are not exceptional, but the shiroshim are exceptional, meaning his physical commitment to Torah mitzvahs. That's the nimshel, right? His physical commitment to life of Yiddishkeit is intact. The roots are strong. as far as the beautiful fruits, the understanding and the intellect and so on, it's not equal to the Sharasha. And we spoke about this last year, that one of the great tzaddikim who survived that period of the expulsion of the Jews from Spain and Portugal, he said that the first Jews who agreed to convert were the philosophers and the scholars. And the ones who were strongest in their determination to either be killed or ultimately to be sent out of Spain and Portugal were the simple Jews and the women. The simple Yidden, the Amcha. Jews whose Maisim were Merub Michachmosa. Because the Maisim, the Maral explains, Kol Shem Maisim Merub Michachmosa, Ki Maisim Is Yachasim L'Gufa Adam. Man's actions connect most profoundly to what? His physical life. This is what I do. I put on film. The no chachmas. I put on film. I say these words. These are my menhagim. Ashehu nachshiv ikar. And in this respect, it's considered to be the ikar. The ikar here means exactly what the word ikar in Hebrew. The ikar means the yesod, the foundation, the root. Ki lo shayach maisei hamitzvos b'seichel. You might have the mind of the Rogatchover, but the Rogatchover's brain can't put on film. Only with his hands can he put on film, not with his brain. Even if you have the Vilna Gaon's brain, if you don't have the hands of a simple Jew to put on film, the Vilna Gaon's brain is not going to make a difference. The mitzvahs are shayochim, of course, with the exception of learning and so on, but the mitzvahs are shayochim, and even then, the inyan of bitui and akimas vasayim, pronouncing the words physically, is important, not just to read the words. Ka'achilas matzah, the Maral says, there's a very big yesod. Ka'achilas matzah, haraya matzahu dvar guf. The matzah is physical. V'chein lulav, v'chein kol ha-mitzvahs, ha-kol heim guf. Ulakach, they're all physical. Observed. Ulakach omash im ma'isim mu'atim v'chachmasim ruba. So let's talk about the person whose ma'isim, whose physical actions in terms of mitzvahs are not doing well. He's missing a lot when it comes to his physical observance of mitzvahs. But the chachmasim meruba. But he's a brilliant guy. So the Mishnah says, daima, he is similar to an ilon, a tree. That is weak, it has very weak roots. Vanof merubim, it has beautiful fruits, brilliant, beautiful, shining fruits. But what does the Mishnah say? When a good wind comes along, this very attractive and appealing tree is going to be completely uprooted because it doesn't have strong roots, doesn't have strong shorashim. That's what happened. That's what the Chacham Yaivitz was talking about. That Tzaddik. When he said that the philosophers, when the wind of the expulsion came, they were completely uprooted. And we've seen this in later generations as well. And on a more recently, the effect of the misery of our grandparents and great-grandparents in Europe, World War I and World War II, the effects were much more devastating in the Lithuanian communities than in the Hasidic communities. I don't mean who was killed. I mean, how did they emerge spiritually? Ain't a daima. And I'm not saying that because some sort of militant Hasid. The point is that the Gedolei Litva said the same thing. That the Hasidim, whose emuna to a large extent was an emuna pshuta, and they were and the focal point of their emunah was not one that demanded, although there were many great talmidim chacham, but it didn't require that kind of understanding. Therefore, the haskalah, the inroads that the haskalah made into Russia and into Lithuania, were the effect of that was being felt to this day. Mashiach came. The Haskalah had very little Hatzlocha in Poland and Galicia, Kiedu. It had, but you can't compare it to Lithuania and to Russia. The Sharoshim that were planted by the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov with the unbelievable amount of Minhagim and Maisim, those minhagim that the tzaddikim say have protected the Jewish people, that many people would make fun, the hanafki minute, this minute, that minute, but the chassidim is so important. The minhagim, the chassidim, by the chassidim, a minute could be more important than it did, than a halacha. I'm not saying that that's right. But the minhagim, and the dveikus to the tzaddik, the meisim was so strongly rooted that when the winds of tsaris and of wars and the haskalah came, the Jews in Lithuania understood, the tzaddik in Lithuania understood that the secret of survival is by the chassidim davka. It wasn't in Lithuania. And even now in the yeshivas, if you talk to the boys in the yeshivas, in the Litvish yeshivas, Ruba de Ruba, I would challenge you. Ruba de Ruba, the ones that came out and that they ended up having grandchildren that are shematary mitzvahs, you look into, and they're all davening Ashkenaz, and they consider themselves to be Litvish Abachim. You find out this one comes from Chernobyl, the other one is Belzer, this one comes from Babov. This is Kaseidi, you see this, and you could check in any shul, you'll find, or in any Bismedrish, that the longevity and the ability to persevere by Chassidus, I believe, with all of my heart, has to do with what the Maral is talking about. The Sharoshim, the roots. Hashanah came when the Haskalah, when secularism came into Lithuania. Look again, Ruba the Ruba. Who were the writers? Who were the Yiddishists and the socialists and the Tzionistim? And all of the Chevre. Again, the vast majority were not from Poland, Galicia, from Hungary, the vast majority were not. I'm not saying that you didn't have, but the upheaval of it wasn't the situation. So the Maral says, this is an inyan of Maisa Merub Mechachmasa. So he explains. Ulekach Omash im Maisa Muat Mechachmasa Meruba. Am I up to that? Okay. Yeah, Lekachama. After the brackets, it says 23. Therefore, the Mishnah says that if a person's actions are less than his chachma, he's like a tree that has very weak, very few roots, but a lot of branches. And the mashal is even deeper than that, because the fact that the tree doesn't have strong roots, and it has a lot of fruits, that could itself cause the tree to be more easily uprooted when there's a wind. V'chein kasher odem mitzad ha-maisim, Samaral explains, when the person mitzad ha-maisim asher shiyachim la-odem b'meshu balguf, remember that a human being is an odem, and the odem is from the adama, and the essential basic home turf of a human being is this physical world. And he's a balguf. That doesn't mean that's the best he could be, but that means that's who he is. He's a balguf. Asher haguf hu shayrish adam v'ikishala. That the body is man's life in this world. Im ha-maisim he-mu'atim. If you have that the maisim are few, that he's not doing too well when it comes to maisim. He-mu'atim. Chachmosim aruba. But his wisdom is great. His seichel is great. And he's like a tree that has very few roots and many branches. The Mishnah says, a wind comes along and uproots it. Then I believe that's why over history there are more and more minhagim. More and more minhagim. It's amazing. So you could ask, why are the Kadmonim didn't need all these minhagim? The Rishonim, they didn't. So many of the minhagim that developed later in history. So what, were better Jews than the Rishonim? We're better Jews than the Rishonim. That the Rishonim didn't need so many minhagim. Now the Teretz is, in order for us to survive Golus, more and more the roots have to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And by these little actions, these little physical actions, you know, Chveis pouring the water back into the wine bottle, whatever they are, Al Pidari, Al Pidarashash, whatever they are. But those minhagim, each minhag that a Jew does, and he's careful and he gives those over to the children, Those minhagim, see, why should the minhagim keep the grandchildren Jewish? You'd say, I understand kashrus and Shabbos. The minhagim have preserved the Jewish people. Not that the mitzvahs, of course, everything, but the minhagim, every minig is that's accepted by emunah pshuta, that the collective heart and soul of the Jewish people know that we need this to make another root in, further into the ground, further holding the adam, the Jewish person in the world, throughout all of the storms of history, more and more minhagim, more and more minhagim. It's unbelievable, more minhagim. So he explains. The kasha ma'isim ruben nachshav leilan shesharshim ruben. When a person has a lot of ma'isim, when he's doing a lot of physical human things in serving Hashem, the roots are getting deeper and more. Kisharish adam hu aguf ha'seichel him anofim. The seichel is the anofim. The kasha ha'mitzvah she ma'isim guf him harbe rei hu daim leilan sheyesh lo shemoshim harbe mod anofim him ma'at shafil haruchas baos. And even if the greatest wind, a storm comes along, ainim aziz na'isim kaimai. You can't budge the tree. Because his Yiddishkeit is dug deeply into this world. He's rooted in the world. A person might be somebody who's Michal Shabbos, God forbid, he's eating chayfis and he tells you that God is in my heart. And you know, I feel so much about my religion. And I have, look at all the pictures I have of chassidim and the rabbis and things. I'm very, very much connected. We say, Rabbi, we love you, but you're not connected. Connected means you're an adam, and an adam's connection to Yiddishkeit is primarily as a human being. As the Kuska said, it says in Pasuk, Anshei Kodesh Tiyum Li, men of holiness you should be. The Kuska said, the Baruch Hashem doesn't need any more malachim, he has lots of malachim. Anshei Kodesh, he needs Heilige Menschen, human beings who are holy. Malachim, he has plenty. Anshei Kodesh. He says, what? B'nei Shoshabu V'Yisoid V'Hashoshu Chazak. The Yisoid and the Shoresh is strong. So you see, you begin to learn with the children Vayikra and Abraishis, right? In Cheder you begin with Vayikra. Why? Braishis is Muridic. Ah, unbelievable things, right? The deepest, deepest thoughts. Maisa Braishis. That's not how we begin with the children. You begin with what Vayikra? It's Vayikra? Avayda. Serving Hashem. The whole Sefer Vayikra. That's what it is. Avayda. Pashtus. Getting blood on your hands, getting yourself filthy, serving Hashem. The whole Sefer Yikra is it's the dirtiest Sefer in the world. Because the Kahanim are covered from head to toe with filth, no? You walk into the Beis HaMikdash, there's blood all over the place. Ashchita. Ashlachtos, right? That's how we teach the children. That's how you begin with children. The Yikra. Because why? Because we're trying to plant a tree that has strong roots. That's why it's so important to talk to children about the past also. Pashtus, what it meant. You see, I always find it a fascinating thing. If you asked me when I was 9 years old where my parents are from, so I said exactly which city, and I could tell you which street, I could tell you who my father's Rebbe was, where he learned yeshiva, I could tell you what kind of chassidim were in the town, and what kind of, and I could have almost seen the town in my mind's eye as a child. That's how much my parents, that's how important it was growing up. Nowadays, already with the Grinch, you know, you ask now, how many times it's happened that Habakkuk said, where are your grandparents from? I don't know, someplace in Poland, I think. You know, you remember which city? I don't know, Antwerp? I don't know. Are you interested? Not really, I don't, I'm not interested. So this sounds like it's a kleinigkeit. It's not a kleinigkeit. It's not a small thing. These are also the sheroshim. That of what our ancestors did and how they lived and where they went and what they looked like. All of these things, these sheroshim are so important. Even though the maskilim, they call it the maskilim, the big thinkers, they make fun of these things. This is Narishkeit. Who cares? Where you come from, there, because where you're going. But we've seen the davka, those Jews who care about where they come from and who care about the past, that the sheroshim are deep and it makes a difference where they end up. It makes a difference to talk to the children and grandchildren. Hayisoid v'asherish u'chazak. Ulekach, therefore, kasher ha'odam ma'isiv merubim, when you have a Jew who's ma'isim amerubim, the actions are many. V'ma'isim misyachasim alaguf min ha'odam. And the actions, of course, relate to the basic physical being. Shusherish ha'odam. V'aseichel demel anofim. Even if a guy has a strong seichel, so fine, he's very himmeldik, he's a very deep thinker. But and the seichel is very strong, but his metzias is weak. Because the metzias is you're an odom, and odom means here and now. And his metzias is not strong. You take a simple Jew, that's exactly what's going on with Spain and Portugal and in modern times too. You take a Jew who's Maisim Amrub. Who's Maisim Amrub. He doesn't write a doctoral thesis on Slichas. He gets up and says them. Understand? You have people nowadays that can write all kinds of interesting books about how Jews used to say Slichas and what Slichas means and this pshatel, that pshatel. And you could trade it all in for one Jew that gets up and says Slichas. You ask him why? He says, my father says Slichas. I don't know. My Zaydis is Slichas, I guess I should say. That doesn't mean he shouldn't learn what the Slichas means. And it's not his theory. Of course he can learn what the Slichas means. But all of this, all of the Haskalas, that where did all the Haskalas lead? What did all the Haskalas bring, Klai Yisrael? The whole Eitz Hadas, what did it bring us? And by the way, this is how the Maral explains everything that's going on in Chumash in these parashiyas. The hardest parashiyas are the parashiyas at the beginning of Chumash. Because when we learn these parashiyas, we're all thinking, if I would have been there, I would have worked this out. I can't believe it. Like, what's going on? Only Noach. Nobody else could figure this out. Everybody was, and you think also, and what's going on with their Enosh, Navar Azaris, and even the Hafloga, what's going on? So the Maral says an unbelievable thing. And you could understand it now that we learned this pshat in the Mishnah, and obviously you understand the Maral. Which the Maral talks about in Derech Chaim. The Maral says there was a problem, there was a flaw in the earlier generations. When you learn in Chumash, you see there was a flaw. Well, you think we're greater people than they were? What was the flaw? The flaw was, those were generations that had unbelievable chachma. The wisdom, the knowledge, the awareness that they had was amazing. Infinitely greater than us. But you know what? They didn't have ma'isim. They didn't have 613 mitzvahs, rabbanim. They didn't have bav mitzvah, bav kama. They didn't have brachas megillah. They didn't have psachim and erichin. They didn't have. So what developed was a world of unbelievable fruits and flowers and branches and leaves. Anafim merubim ma'ayd. Unbelievable seichel. But they weren't rooted in this world. It couldn't, and therefore when the wind came along, they were uprooted. Amabul, Migdal Bavel, Haflaga. They didn't have their roots. Maimed Har Sinai gave each and every one of us the roots. Har Sinai is the root. Before Har Sinai, the Maisim couldn't keep up with the Chochmah. The actions of holiness could never keep up with the knowledge of holiness, and therefore it was doomed. It couldn't last. Why did that happen? Why did Hashem? That's not for now, but. But this is the explanation of the Maharal of what went wrong at the beginning of time. They weren't idiots.
You're saying they couldn't do it or they didn't do it?
They were chacham nifloim. They could have. But it required unbelievable effort. And they didn't. That bechira was missing. But the reason that it was so difficult, for me and you, if we keep the things and we keep Shulchan Aruch and we try to be good boys, okay. We could leave this world 120. We won't go through a Mabul Chalil, and we won't go through a Haflaga, and we won't go through a Avodah Zarah. These people at the beginning of time, their wisdom, their knowledge was profound, and in order for them to remain rooted in this world, they had to take whatever Maisim were available, Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, whatever, but whatever were available to them. They had to be mamish, completely, completely immersed in Maisim Tovim. Therefore, the descriptions that we have of Stom are Avroim Chataim Lashamai. These descriptions, and especially in Chazal, we're all wondering, what exactly was going on over there in Stom? What was going on? So it sounds like when you read the Midrash, the main problem that they had was with Hachnasas Arachim. I mean, sounds like they had difficulty with strangers. They had not only they had difficulties, they had dinim, they had zayrus, they had laws against Hachnasas Arachim. The kitzur, same thing with Dar Mabul. We don't find anywhere in Chazal, really, it's not clear in Chazal that the problem that they had problems with hilchos dayos and chovos halavavos. It wasn't so much issues of philosophy. The issues were lemaisa, gezel, gilai rayus, and so on, and problems with achnasas orchem, echsodim, and so on. That these were generations that were flying off into the highest places intellectually, but they didn't have the roots of mitzvah samasim tovim, and therefore that's something that's repeated itself throughout history. It's repeated itself throughout history. Ad hayom.
They had very little potential for maisim.
Whatever maisim they had, you're right. Again, I said I'm not going to get into the discussion of why did Hashem do it. They were okay, but say that's a whole discussion, and it's important, but not for now. Whatever reason, why were they doomed? How come Hashem did it that way? These are important discussions, which the Maral talks about, but it's not for now. But the Metzius was, and the Metzius still is, that without the Emunah Pshuta, without Mitzvah Samasim Tovim, so the Haskalah is not only the intellect not Mekayim that Jew, to keep him as a Jew, but other Abba, the Haskalah is his intellect, the Davke, can be his downfall. His intellect can be his downfall. Davke. That which should be beautiful fruits and flowers and delicious, if the Sharoshim are not strong, fakir, then the tree becomes top heavy, and it can't, and a wind comes, it's fafal. It can't go on. Ubenetzach Yisrael, the end of that note, like six lines, seven lines up from the bottom of the note, at the bottom of the page. Ubenetzach Yisrael Perek Zayin Kosov. You see how there's a very important ha'or to understand the marshal of the tree and the fruits. In Netzach Yisrael, the Maral writes, Ki be'emes ha'odam nikra eitz ha'sodah. This is what the Torah means when it says that the human being is the eitz ha'sodah, the tree of the field. Dechsiv ki ha'odam eitz ha'sodah rakshu ilon hofuch. This is also found in the Sefer Yosher, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that the Adam is called an eitz ha'sodah. However, it's an ilon hofuch, it's an upside down tree. Man is called a tree, but it's different. In this world, the roots are in the ground, and the tree grows upward. But he says, but the person is an ilan hafach. Why? Upside down. Ki ha'eitz shorisho lamata takua ba'aretz. The tree, its shorish, is rooted in the earth. And the leaves and so on are above. V'ilo ha'odam, a person that's not that way. V'ilo ha'odam shorisho lamala, the shorish of a Jew, the origin of a Jew, is lamala, is above this world. Ki an neshama hu shorish alay, v'hi min ha'shamayim. V'hayadayim heim anfei ha'ilon. And the hands, the extremities, the physical body, are the anfei ha'ilon, the branches of the tree. V'araglayim heim anofim al anofim, and so on. Gufa ikar ha'ilon, and the body is like the main part of the tree. What's the trunk of the tree. The lomahu ilan hafuch. Why is it an upside down tree? Kya'eitz shor shalamata, kya'eitz chiyusa min ha'adama. Because the tree, its whole chiyus comes from the ground. It's life. Ve'odam chiyusa in neshmosa min ha'shamayim. The chiyus of a Jew is from the neshama that comes from shamayim. He's not contradicting what he said before. The ikar of a person in this world is certainly the trunk, physical ma'isa. That's the ikar. That's the shorish of this world. But what he's saying here is that in terms of the shorish of the shorish, certainly that the origin of a Jew, the neshama's mshamai, v'chein kosev grayi breishis paraktes sham b'midbar, yeah, all these places behesped. V'hinei b'darachayim. Shuva kan kosev shesharish adam hugufay v'lei sichlay v'lo nesach yisrael shuva kan kosev shanashom yisharish shal adam v'divay tayim kepatish yifay tzeselim eschakam akam atam nitzayis. He doesn't really go into it now, neither do I want to. But it seems to be a difference between what he's saying here and what he's saying in Nesach Yisrael. Here he says that the trunk is the guf, is the shayrish, and the branches and the trees are the leaves of the neshama. In Netzach he's saying that the yisoid is the neshama, and that in this world, this world is secondary. I don't believe that there's a steer. He's speaking on two different levels, on two different dagas. But again, I don't want to go into it either. Okay, back upstairs, right after 53. So now, let's take the mushal further. that by a tree, when the tree is able to give forth branches and fruits, that sarvas tiva kasharoi, that itself brings to the refinement and to the health of the tree. Vim lo haya maitzi hanofim v'ha'olin v'tzura sapri b'vadai hay mekulkel. And any tree that is not able to produce, if that tree does not produce branches and leaves and fruits, then the tree is mekulkel. The tree is dysfunctional. Kasher re'inu. Next page. She'ena maitzi shleim shelo el apoil. The fact that the tree is not producing fruits means that it's an unsuccessful tree. If it was a healthy tree and the tree was going according to its teva, then naturally it should be able to produce the branches and the fruits. So what happens is that something much deeper is going on here. He brings it up a little bit in footnote 54. Look at footnote 54. Perish. If the tree is not successfully producing fruits, it's a simon that the tree is makulkal, that the tree, something is wrong with the tree. If the tree wasn't makulkal, certainly then it would go to its final destination, which is to produce fruits. We see that something is wrong with the Elon, if it doesn't have pears. Similarly in a house also. Generally it's a simon that there's something wrong with the Elon if the pears are not coming out. B'bir hadov nira, he kol b'koach omeid liyaz yotze elapo. Every potential is waiting. It's waiting for its cue to come out, to be in this world. All potential is longing to be activated, to be revealed. That's the nature of all reality. Potential is standing right by, on deck, waiting to come up. Potential is very excited about coming into this world. There is this unbelievable need for something that's bekoach, that something's potential to be bepoel. There's a tremendous need for it to be bepoel. You tell a kid in the classroom that has a huge amount of energy, and you tell him that I want you to sit still for the next 9 months, 10 months. I don't want you to move in your chair. I don't want you to go once to the bathroom. I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to be involved in any school activities, extracurricular activities. Just sit still. You know what's going to happen. The whole school is going to explode from this kid. Forget about him. The whole school is going to explode. It's not going to be able to hold such a child. Because this child... And these are dafka the children who the teachers repress the most, because it's the teva of a teacher, naturally. Because these are the kids that give you the most trouble in class, right? The kids, the lebedikah. So you get a lebedikah kid, he has certain koichas that he needs to bring out the pile. He doesn't know as a child, he doesn't usually know how or what to do with these koichas. But there's something there that needs to be brought up a pile. It takes a very, very exceptional teacher to know how to bring these koichas out without disrupting the class. A good teacher could do that. Most teachers can't do that, and what they try to do is stifle the kaychas of the child. Parents do this as well, because everybody likes to have the low-maintenance child, and manageable child, and it's very nice. When you get a kid that's like bouncing off the walls, so that you go crazy. But what it means is that the child has unbelievable kaychas that are not given a chance to be seen bepoil, to be revealed bepoil. What that can cause is... emotional illness. It causes emotional illness. When the koichas do not have an opportunity to be expressed bepoil, it causes emotional illness. That doesn't mean if a kid says in school, I have this deep need to break the window, I got to throw this baseball through the window, that we should stop and say, yes, Johnny, those are your koichas, you should be meitzeh dem el apoil. And in the secular world, of course, like everything, any good idea is just taken to the most ridiculous and absurd extreme without being connected to the seichel of Torah. That's not what it means. But maybe if you get Johnny and you get him involved in going around with a pushka a little bit and helping some kid from class with a chesed or something, so then he's going to put the baseball down, because he's already breaking windows. He doesn't need to break the window. He's breaking windows by helping people out. he's breaking windows by being in charge of the chesed things in yeshiva and raising money for some poor kala. That's how he's breaking windows. But he's doing such a gewaldige thing. He's fixing lives instead of breaking windows. The small people, they either say, break the window, Johnny. Or they say, don't touch the baseball, Johnny. Sit still, Johnny. Either one of those are not choices. They're not choices. The only choice is to find a legitimate way for him to be mitzvah the kaychus el apoyo. The problem that there's a tremendous mashber, there's a crisis, especially in Eretz Yisrael, with the education in Eretz Yisrael among the Haredim, which is very black and white, and a lot of the people are having problems. If your son is not the type that is going to be able to sit by a Gemara 12 hours a day, it's very hard in that world of Eretz Yisrael to find a place for him. Very hard. And that finally some people are beginning to be minded that we have to do something with these kids. We have to help them out. The traditional approach has been, you're lo yisluch, you're a mashchis, you know, go to America. You know, and send back checks, of course, as often as you can. But you're a mushchis and you're a mashchis. Why? Because you can't sit and learn. Now, this in Eretz Yisrael is therefore many, many young people, especially boys, they go through unbelievable pain. But the ones who are not holding the learning, it's very dangerous as far as emotional sickness, chalila, and going off the derech, which is becoming more and more of an issue. It's not just in America. This problem is in America as well. In America, there's a little bit more room to breathe. In Eretz Yisrael, in that world of Eretz Yisrael, the hold is so tight, if you don't fit in exactly into that mold, you don't fit in exactly, so then you're out. And to be able to give somebody a little bit of an opening, a little bit of a leeway, you know, they're trying to imitate B'nai Brak in America as well. When I say B'nai Brak, I'm not talking about Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you understand. I'm talking about these problems that exist in Eretz Yisrael. If you try to bring them to America, it becomes even worse in America. It becomes even worse. Right? So it's such a delicate balance of what you do with the kaychus of a child. And you see this with adults also. A person who's a bal seichel, he knows how to work with that person to bring out his kaychus al apoyel. And not only does that person feel good about himself, it's not just how he feels about himself. You don't let him throw the ball through the window. He becomes a big Jew, an Eved Hashem, and a tzaddik. And he might end up with a Gemara Mitzvah Hashem one day also. But he becomes a big Eved Hashem. But especially when we were starting in America to rebuild Torah, so many of the old school mechanchim, that wasn't like a cheshbon, you know, his kaychus, and to be much the kaychus of a pile, it was put your finger in the Gemara and say over the Gemara. And if you're not going to say over the Gemara, you're in trouble. And this is something which is a very dangerous issue nowadays. It's not pashut. It wasn't pashut. That's not pashut now. This is what he's saying. The imloi kein leinikus shuhu b'kayach. If it doesn't really have to come out, then it means it's not really b'koach. Something that must come out, a b'koach must come out. So shaila how? But if it's b'koach, it's like the word b'koach, which means potential, it means b'koach. It is pushing its way into the world. But in the Siva Tshuva, Perek Dal, the Maral writes over there, Dvar ha-nivra, i'ev sheshala yetzel apoel. Shim loikein yil batola habriya. It can't be. Something that Hashem gave, if Hashem gave you a b'koach, something to do, it must come out, or else Hashem didn't create a chashon for nothing. Why did Hashem give the kid that teva? It's not stam. Everybody's created with a certain mahalach and a certain thing that they need to bring into this world, they need to accomplish. And a person, a parent, a rabbi, and so on, a friend, has to have the chachma to realize that, what do you think, this little batola? Is labatola? This rotzen and this b'kayach is labatola? Again, to break the window is labatola. That's not the b'kayach. The b'koach is, what is the energy inside that child who wants to throw the ball through the window? What's the energy? And how do you take that energy and harness it and bring it into elokus and bring it into godliness? Instead, many were raised in what the teachers thought is the school of Musa, which I don't even believe that that's... I've learned a lot of Musa myself. I don't believe that that's really what the Bali Musa meant. But the idea is to break your teva, to break the teva. In other words, Johnny, put the ball down. Only behemoths throw balls through windows. And if you do that, you're a behemoth, you're not a mensch. A human being doesn't do that. that mahalach that many teachers have tried, and it has worked in few cases, to a large extent, has made a terrible churban, and has created hundreds of Orthodox shuls where people don't feel like davening, right? And they're waiting more for Kiddush than for a Shemoneh Esrei. Even though, and these are the better ones that remain Shemoneh Mitzvahs. Many of them just forget I had it. How many times can you get beaten over the head? So this is a very serious matter. I think that you understand what I'm talking about. You also understand that if I would talk about this Barabbam, that I would be in grave trouble. Because it's true, you know, and you have to be very careful how you say the truth these days. Right? But what we're learning is truth, and it's the pnimius of Torah. But Yehuda, you know what I'm talking about. Because we discuss this all the time. But this is what's happening. This is what's going on.
Okay, what does it mean then, in a good way, to break your Torah? What does that really mean then?
What? Did Tzaddikim also use such lashonis?
But I
was just saying today to the boys when I was teaching them Tzikas at Tzaddik before, I mentioned to you also, you know, that Rabbi Nachman said that if you break a midah, you get two bad midahs. You get two, right? If you break a bad midah, you snap it in half, now you have two bad midahs. Breaking one's teva means al pi his teva, to break his teva. What I'm saying, what it means is, not that you should never, not that Johnny should just sit and he shouldn't do anything. No, we're going to break his teva. His teva chitzayni. Listen to what I'm saying. His teva chitzayni is, the external teva is to break the window. So everybody looks at it and says, Johnny is a destructive boy. That's his teva. And how do we know this? Because he broke, in this school he broke the table, and that school he broke the window, and the kaseida. We have a long history of Johnny breaking things. So now he's been already touched up in the yeshivas. They have on his papers, it says he is a mashkes, right? He's destructive. But what I'm saying, what I'm trying to explain is that teva chitzayni of Johnny breaking the window, we must break. That's what the Svarma are talking about when they speak about shviras amidas. It doesn't mean to break Johnny as a human being. But a lot of the teachers think that's what it means. And they're doing it. Oh boy, they're doing it. They're doing it. Doesn't mean to break the kid. Listens for these things. And you could put him on something and he'll never break a window again. He'll just sit and he'll look out the window. But he'll never break a window. So there are people who also do that. And you could break a kid to the point where he doesn't become a mashkes. There's some kids that's not in their teva. So they won't become a mashkes. They won't destroy things. Instead, because of their delicate nature, they'll make a decision not to destroy things. I'll only destroy myself. And he'll sit and stare out the window the rest of his life. And there are many people I know that are like that. They go to work, they have jobs, but they never ever become who they should have become. There are guys that I was with in yeshiva that I thought that this guy, like, you know, when we were growing up, the kaiches were unbelievable. And then, you know, you see the guy 30, 40 years later and you know that someone did a job on him. Someone did a job on this guy. Could be a Rebbe, could be a wife, whatever it is. Someone did a job on this guy. But the guy is just, he's given up. So he's been broken. So I want you to understand that when the Svarim HaKadoshim talk about breaking the Teva, it's talking about the Teva Chitzayni. It's not saying, it's not like what Sada talks about there in Sikkhus HaTzadik in Mem Zayin. It's not talking about a person a person who's a balkas. He has a fiery nature. He's more of a temperamental guy. So again, you could give him some shock treatment. Give him some shock treatment. And he'll come out and you'll say, someone will say to him, listen, Yankel, you're an idiot. I hate your guts. And Yankel will say, it's okay. It doesn't bother me at all. That's one mahalach. The other mahalach is, Yankel, I hate your guts. Yankel says, that's okay. I'm a cowboy that. But so it sounds like the same Yankel's not. One Yankel, he's like that with everything in life. He's lost his cheshek. He lost his cheshek. You took out from him, you uprooted that fiery nature, but you left behind, you know what, a ruined person. There's another Yankel that when it comes to someone telling him you're an idiot, he's talking out in his spot. He's not in his spot. But when he's learning a difficult taisvus, like Rebbe Elie Chazan, how he used to learn, they say from Rebbe Elie Chazan, how he used to learn Tarevadasa taisvus, what was going on over there. They say stories I don't believe are true, that he tore up, you know. I don't believe it that they say that he tore up the taisvus. He's a rush of the taisvus. But then they say that one of the talmidim asks, what about taisvus on the other side? So he says, Oyla Rush, Oyla Shchein, the neighbor's also not good. I don't believe he's meisim, but I know people that were by rebellion, and the rebellion was an eish lahava, was an eish lahava, was a fire, mamish a fire. Those big Jews like Baruch Ber, those big that were screaming and yelling Gemaras and Rambams, they were, if they wouldn't be screaming and yelling Rambams, they'd be screaming and yelling something else. That was the Tavah. That was the Tavah. And David HaMelech, as you know, because I'll say, David HaMelech was born on the Madim, on the Mars, and it was either what, to be a Retzeach? He could have been an Esav. He was also red. And he could have been a Retzeach. He could have been a murderer. And Esav was in the Tzad HaTumah. Esav was that. And David HaMelech took that, which was a lifelong struggle for David HaMelech on his Madrega. But David HaMelech took those Kareches into Malchus Yisrael. The point is not to break the person. Other rabbi, David HaMelech comes from Rus, who comes from Moav. And Moav means what? Kaz. Moav means anger. Moav means anger. And David HaMelech was able to take all those kareches and to draw them into Kedusha. That's the greatness of David HaMelech. Not that David HaMelech wasn't passionate. David HaMelech, if he'd be in yeshiva these days, they'd throw him out. No? They'd throw him out of yeshiva. He'd never make a yeshiva. He'd have to, you know, he'd end up by Rabbi Zakatinsky's door. They'd throw him out of yeshiva. He wouldn't make any yeshiva, David HaMelech. They'd say, they'd write on the paper, very bright, problems, big problems, dysfunctional family, problems, and all kinds of Rosh HaTavis, ADD, DTT, PSA, ABC, DEFG, all kinds of, they'd have David HaMelech would never, ever, they'd try to figure, what are we going to do with him? Maybe there's a special school, something to keep boots, and from David HaMelech comes out, Malchus HaMashiach. And it says in the Gemara there in the Pasuk, Al Tigu B'Mashiachai, be careful not to touch my anointed ones. What does Chazal say in Megillah? Tinoikos Shabesh Rabin. The Kindlech in Yeshiva. It says, Al Tigu B'Mashiachai, be careful how you deal with my little ones. Hashem calls them my little Mashiachs. Mashiachai. Al Tigu B'Mashiachai. Who are these? Tinoikos Shabesh Rabin, the Gemara says. The little Kindlech in Yeshiva. Each one is called a Mashiach Hashem. David HaMelech would not have been Masliach nowadays. Wouldn't have been Masliach. Because the koiches of David HaMelech wouldn't have had, how would you have kalim for such a person? What were the kalim for such a person? The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh? Even back then he used to cut school. Baal Shem Tov used to leave cheder. He couldn't be contained in the cheder either. Even in those days, Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And the Arizal, you think that the Arizal would have, that the Arizal would have been, that the papers would have said about the Arizal, perfectly well adjusted, potential to be the valedictorian? Wouldn't have said by the Rizal, on his file wouldn't have said either. Very strange and odd. Very strange. Keep an eye on this kid. This Luria kid. Keep an eye on him. Something funny with this kid. You know, if they wouldn't have had such teachers, if they wouldn't have had such neshamas that saw them and understood them, then that's why Chazal don't hide these things. Chazal never hid. The Navi doesn't hide David HaMelech's teva. Nobody came to break the teva of David HaMelech. The shaila was, we have here a Jew, he's either going to be violent in a negative way, or he's going to be the loichim l'chomes Hashem. So in the end, David HaMelech was God's warrior, he's Mashiach Hashem, and that same David HaMelech's fire and passion is what makes up Tehillim. That's in Tehillim. The fire of David HaMelech. But if you don't have the right Rebbe, or the right parent for that, and his own family didn't understand him, his family didn't understand him either. We see that. And Chazal didn't hide this. Chazal didn't hide this. What's the madness?
No, I'm trying to remember that something the drash of Pinchas, specifically from the Pasuk. It says in the words of the Pasuk itself, the Pinchas could have used instead of Hebrew, the Kamis Knesset.
Yeah. Yeah, but that Pinchas is also such a person. Elionavi is also. These people, these Malachi Hashem, what koiches they had. That's why if you hear this I'm talking about, or any of you listening to this tape at some point, if you're going to hear this and say, what's one of you talking about? It's crazy. If you look in Tzikas HaTzadik, when Tzikas HaTzadik speaks about, in the later Oysters, about Tshuka, desire, the Ovis, the Kohen says, the Ovis were called Eitzanei Oilam, the Eitanin. Eitzanei means what? The powerful ones. And the Kohen writes there, and nobody could accuse Reb Tzadik of not being a Talmud Chacham. Right? So the Reb Tzadik says over there that the biggest Bali Taiv in the world were the Ovis, were the Tzadikim.
the biggest bal. Called Cheshek Shloima. Cheshek Shloima. David HaMelech, the biggest balei taiva, balei cheshek in the world. Ella, tzaddikim and taharim, that they took the cheshek, they took the taiva, and they made and they brought themselves into kedusha and so on. But don't think for a moment that the others were complacent people who just sat and stayed out the window. They weren't such people. They were people that were shaking mamish the entire world. The entire world and the whole world, the whole universe was shaking from them. And therefore, any chinuch that suffocates a child, any chinuch that takes away from a child the natural and healthy rotzen of who he is, of who he is batsim, is not a chinuch. It's not a Jewish chinuch. And it doesn't make a difference that the teacher's got a long beard and payas. That's not chinuch. That's murder, not chinuch. Chinuch is fakir. Chinuch is to be aimed on the nekud of who this child is and what he can be. And to anchanaych ma'a pi darko in his way. That's what chinuch is. That's what the Maal is saying over here. This is what this is all about. The bekoyach. That's why, now back on top, right after 54. He says, "Kach hu dover zeh, im lahayim maitzi pulas hamitzis alapayel." If a Jew only has the potential and he's not able to express it. And remember, it's only through a life of Torah mitzvahs that you're able to bring out the bepayel, the bekoyach to be bepayel. Without Torah mitzvahs, you could be the smartest Jew in the world, and it's just nice leaves and flowers, and the wind comes and destroys you. It's only through mitzvahs and Torah mitzvahs. It's only through maisim hamitzvahs. Im lahayim maitzi pulas hamitzis alapayel hayinisha bekoyach mutba bechaymer. Then his bekoyach, his potential would be perpetually, permanently embedded in physical things. That's Johnny breaking the window. That's mamish Johnny breaking the window. That what? He doesn't have a spiritual way of expressing his bekoyach. He has no spiritual outlet for his bekoyach. His bekoyach, his potential is only expressed with breaking windows. In Chaimer, in the physical world. The dove is a kilkel, I love. And this is a kilkel. Just like the tree that doesn't have the fruit, there's a kilkel, means the tree is messed up. Kasha nafsha milamala. This is a terrible tragedy. That a Jew has a neshama that comes from the highest place, and it's stuck in the physical body, and has no way of expressing itself. It's just imprisoned. It has no holy, legitimate, real way of finding expression. Just like, you know, breaking the window, whatever that person's way of breaking the window is. And that person's nefesh remains in a constant state of being bekoyach. This is what we're learning. This is what we were learning in the last year and this year in B'nei Machshava Toiva by the Piazetzman and Tzav Aziris. But the Rebbe talks, the Eish Kodesh talks so much about this inyan, so much about this inyan. When we're learning, and I've spoken about this Barab many, many times, that piece in the Tzav Aziris where the Rebbe says. Well, the Rebbe tells us how it's the nature of the Yiddish neshama to thrive on excitement, to want to have a thrill. It's the nature of a person. The neshama comes from an exciting place, and it's stuck in this world, and it wants to have excitement. But the Rebbe said, and if you don't, and he says the wise, the clever person will find its excitement in Torah mitzvahs, in avodas Hashem, and serving Hashem. But what if it does not have that opportunity? So then the Rebbe says, the Eish Kodesh says, that the person stands a very strong chance of becoming emotionally ill, of becoming sick. Where there's, you see that, especially now, you see how the young people are looking for so much excitement and so many thrills. Where does this come from? This is something inside of them that they don't know how to express. There's a certain bekoyach, and the children don't know what to do with the bekoyach. That's why you get these little kids, they're looking for romance. Like these, you know, little kids, they want to have girlfriends and boyfriends, they want to make believe they're married. All of this is coming from an amazing place. There's something very remarkable about it. We're getting closer to Mashiach. There's a rumbling that's going on inside, but the problem is that unless you find a legitimate, more than legitimate, but a holy means of drawing out the child's neshama, then the child's going to look for the excitement someplace else. And the child will look for it in a disgusting place, and God forbid, if parents or teachers don't understand this, then we're going to lose chalila more and more children. That they're only looking for something. They're looking for something. You see these kids that are on the streets, Jewish kids that went to yeshiva on the streets. I've spoken to many of them. I find most of them to be more spiritual than the regular than us. I find them to be mostly very spiritual kids. They're tuning into this music, and they're looking for something, and they didn't find it where they were. And not only that, but they were told that they were told in one way or the other, they got the impression that they were shoyim for looking for something. But I find most of them to be very spiritual. It comes out in a crazy way. It's okay. So you have this 15-year-old guy and this 14-year-old girl, and they're in love, and they want to run off together, and elope. So what does that mean? Does it mean he's a mushkus? It means God forbid he's a manuvel? No, he's a Jewish child. These are Jewish children. Ella what? It means that there's some romance that's missing from their lives. How do you bring a child to feel a romantic relationship to Yiddishkeit? So what works for one kid might not work for another kid. And you can't even, it's so hard to even talk about it. You go to the yeshivas, you go to the place to talk, and you can't even say these things. They look at you like, Yimamish Mechus L'machna. I would beg, so take this kid, learn with him something a little bit different, do something with him in Yiddishkeit. Why are you forcing a child to come to a point where he has no choice but to look for it outside of Yiddishkeit? Why are you forcing him? Can't you do something for him in Yiddishkeit? To give him something in Yiddishkeit. And when the subject is brought up in certain neighborhoods, even the idea that was brought up, well, let's try to, at least there should be a gym, let the boys go with their Shabbos. So you have some of the Kleine Kepelach with white beards that come out screaming, we didn't do this, in Baranovich or something. No, we're like, I try to pinch myself, is this possible? Is he crazy? So you're worried because you're gonna get a few of the yeshiva bachim that could sit and learn, they're gonna end up in the gym. Okay, we have to work these things out, and not everybody should be allowed in. Maybe I don't know how to do it. I'm not the recreation director. I don't know what to do. But what I'm saying is, this mahalach that instead of providing a place for Jewish boys to be able to have where they could play and they could play with some of the fathers and they could have a little geschmack and maybe the davmarv or something later, instead you're just edging them out. You're just pushing them over the brink into the abyss. And the kids are good kids. And you're just pushing them over. They can't take it. They can't take it. And therefore, the ikkar is to recognize the kaichus of a child. To recognize the kaichus and to be able to work with the child and to try to, of course, to remain in the misgaris of the mainstream and so on. But one has to be a big bal seichel to know when he's tampering with something that's going to break the child. That's the difference between breaking the teva. What you heard maybe growing up, what I heard in all these speeches that I heard growing up about breaking meters, I want to follow some of these people who give the speeches and find out how they talk to their wives and how they talk to their children. I'd like to hear how they broke their teva. And I'd like to ask them, why don't you break your teva once instead of yelling at Jews and talk to them in a kind and loving way? That's your teva, is that you're always putting people down. Why don't you break your teva and try once in your life to talk to a Jew in an encouraging way and with simchan to be mechazek yid instead of always putting down and vayta destroying and then to fold your arms and to say, I'm a frum yid, I'm an elech yid, and look at these people that they're not shomer mitzvahs. What do you mean? They're your victims. These are your victims. And only the Baruch Shalom knows after 120 who was saving more and who was killing more, because it doesn't make any difference. I used to think when I was younger that you can measure this by how this guy looks, how that person looks. It doesn't mean a thing. You could find a Jew that he doesn't have a hair on his chin, but he is giving over Yiddishkeit with love and with compassion and in a positive way, and he's going to produce payrus and payrus till the end of time. And you could find another guy that he's got the most beautiful white beard and white socks, and he's giving over Yiddishkeit with a klop, and he's giving over in a way that suppresses and represses and suffocates, and eventually. Unfortunately, it's going to come out. Eventually, it's going to come out. So as far as breaking midas are concerned, breaking a midah means the teva chitzayni, not breaking the Jew. That's murder. Breaking only the chitzaynius of a person, that a value you could do. But that also has to be done with a lot of seichel. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll continue with this. We have to do footnote 56 very carefully.